Just a note before we start. Our show talks about touchy subjects that may be difficult for some of our listeners. Take care of yourself. If you feel you need to seek help, see the links at the end of our show notes for resources.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to Touchy Subjects Podcast, the podcast that aims to break the silence that tends to come with conversations around domestic and sexual violence. I'm Sean.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we are talking all about Has-Been Hotel, because I binged that about 3 weeks ago with my wife and then forced Amanda to do it because I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. And now she also loves it.
Loves is an understatement. I am obsessed with this show. And if you have not watched it, watch it. But believe us when we both say that in the very beginning, we were both like, whatever, it's okay. But quickly we both turned into just like, this is awesome.
I have listened to the Has-Been Hotel soundtrack a unhealthy amount at this point, and I've only been listening to it for probably like 3 weeks. I know my Spotify Wrapped this year is going to just be Has-Been Hotel, so I'm really looking forward to that.
And I just learned today that there was a soundtrack out there for it, so now I'm super excited. All right, Sean, so why don't you give our listeners a rundown of what Has-Been Hotel is, so if they have not seen it, they know what, at least somewhat what we're talking about today.
Yeah. So Has-Been Hotel is a musical series on Amazon created by VivziPop, and the series itself follows Charlie Morningstar, the daughter of Lucifer, who has a desire to help rehabilitate sinners. So she creates the Has-Been Hotel as a means to rehabilitate sinners to try to get them into heaven. Season one kind of details what the hotel is, like some of the guests at the hotel, and then the conflict that they have with heaven over not only the hotel, but the extermination that heaven does once a year.
Right. So the extermination is when the angels come down from heaven and basically kill a bunch of demons because they don't want them to have any kind of uprising. So they thought that the demons were getting too popular or too powerful, and decided that this extermination was going to happen to try and keep them down. So once a year they come and they do that. And this doesn't sit well with Charlie, right? Because these are her people and she believes in them, and she thinks that, you know, no matter what sins they may have done in life, that they are worthy of a second chance. So this whole series kind of follows her savior mentality of trying to save all of these sinners and get them redeemed into heaven.
Yeah. Charlie's savior mentality is also kind of like very important, not only to her character, but also how she ends up interacting with others. It's how she ends up meeting Vaggie to begin with. She had a desire to meet this person she's never met, brought her in to help her. It's why she allows Alistair to enter into the hotel, because her whole point here is to save people and like give them that second chance or that opportunity. So every character that she interacts with is in some way related to how Charlie has either desired to save this person or wants to help or save this person from being stuck in hell. And it also gets exemplified a lot in her first hotel guest, which is Angel Dust, who is one of my favorite characters. He's not my favorite, which sounds blasphemous knowing that Angel Dust is like everyone's favorite character, even VivziPop, the creator. But I really, really love Husk.
To get into the character of Angel Dust, in life, Angel Dust was a drug addict. And we don't know exactly, you know, what happened, what was going on in Angel's life.
So we do, kinda. This is what happens when you get interested in things and start, you know, looking up wikis and reading what VivziPop has like posted on social media. Because he was a mobster from New York in like the 40s.
So I didn't know that.
That's why he uses Tommy guns as a weapon.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. So his family was in the mob, and that's kind of like what It's the reason that him and his family all end up in hell is they were in the mob and he dies of an overdose is why he ends up dying and ends up in hell. I don't know everything, but I do know that.
Okay. All right. Well, then, so Angel's kind of role in hell, he is committed to the Overlord Val, who is in charge of the hell porn industry.
So they have various like overlords that work in hell, and each of them kind of like oversee like different things that are allowing them to manipulate and gain more power. So the V's, so Valentino, who runs the porn industry, works with the other V's who oversee like television and then social media as a way to like mass put out stuff to be able to control like the thoughts of the citizens of hell, and they gain more power through the more like attention they can get or like the more souls they can make deals with. So Valentino ends up making a deal then with Angel Dust that essentially he can do whatever he wants to Angel inside of his studio. That is like the as an important part of this deal is he can do anything to Angel inside the studio. So he ends up manipulating Angel because he knows he's a drug addict. He knows he can take advantage of that. So he uses that against him in order to then start to manipulate him and pushes Angel then to perform in pornography a ton.
Right. So, you know, it's basically Angel Dust goes into work and he is at the mercy of everything or anything that Valentino wants him to do. And I think that Angel gets kind of a lot of the same mentality that people who are maybe in abusive relationships kind of start to feel. Like, this is just how it is. I have no choice. And I just need to get through this, and that's all I can do. So while Val is, you know, employing Angel, Angel is a guest at the Has-Been Hotel when he's not working. So he's in the Has-Been Hotel with this hope to be redeemed. But he doesn't really talk about what kind of trauma he's going through in his sex industry work. He plays it off. He makes jokes. He laughs. He makes everyone think that this is his choice and this is what he likes to do. And so he's very hypersexualized outside of the work, which you see in the very first couple of episodes. He's using it to make jokes and he's approaching everybody and just kind of using that humor and using that little bit of power that he has to try and maintain control of the situation, or at least what people can perceive him as of being in the situation.
Yeah. And really ends how he, so like how he ends up in the hotel is Angel and Vaggie Charlie and Vaggie offer him a place to stay because they're trying to redeem sinners and they think he'd be a good one to do. He tells Cherry Bomb they're like, oh yeah, these two bitches just let me stay at this hotel for free. So it's like he's using it almost as I can stay there for free so I don't have to like stay at Val's or stay at the place that Val has for me. So it gives me an opportunity to at least get away. But he's passing this off as like, yep, they're giving me a place to stay for free until I can get on my feet, raise money, and get my own place. At least it's what he thinks. Charlie definitely has him there because she's trying to redeem him. But when one of the reasons that we really want to talk about Has-Been Hotel, specifically we're focusing so much on Angel, is because of the work that Amanda and I do, it's really fun for us to talk about when media does representations of abuse victims good. Because that's what Angel is. Angel is a very good representation of how somebody who's experienced trauma, has experienced domestic and sexual violence, not only responds to the abuse and the trauma they're experiencing, but how they also then interact with others. Amanda talked about his hypersexualization. Those who've experienced sexual assault, might end up being hypersexualized because they're trying to get that piece back or say, like, I'm making these choices. This is what I'm choosing to do with my body, not what somebody else is choosing to do with my body. They're going to experience using drugs because they're trying to cope with the trauma they experience. In Angel's case, he had already been an addict, but being an addict on top of experiencing trauma leads you to using more. It's part of the reason why he's struggling for money is because drugs are so expensive.
Even in hell.
Yeah, even in hell, which really tracks, actually, when you think about it. Like, drugs being expensive to a drug addict sounds like hell. So, I mean, so then you have how he interacts with his friends, where he does put on this mask. He's almost, as he's a performer in general, because he is an actor in pornography, he puts on this mask. He looks like he is having the time of his life. He is the most popular person at the party, if you will. He loves going out, loves drinking, and part of that can be that it's something that he likes doing, but also those are a lot of responses that somebody has when they experience trauma, is they're trying to do whatever they can to just stop having the shitty thoughts, stop having like the depressive thoughts, and just really trying to get out of their own head and not feel something for a while. So I think what's also important in this is not only does it Angel represent a good depiction of someone who's experienced trauma, Valentino, unfortunately, does a very good job also of being that abusive asshole. Because yeah. Valentino is charming as hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also, it's definitely a, behind closed doors, Valentino is one person. Out in the public, in the spotlight, when he's talking to Charlie, totally different person, right? Very charismatic, very big, and just has that personality that like is drawing people in, and has a lot of power within hell, and therefore it gives him the opportunity to really exploit that power over people that he has made a deal with for their soul.
Yeah. So going back to how we discussed domestic and sexual violence, is that it stems from people wanting to have power and control over somebody else. Valentino not only wants power, but he feeds off of it. Like, he needs power in order to gain more in hell. If he cannot exert power over others by making contracts or deals, he is not able to continue to rise up those ranks to maintain his overlord status. So when you have people who are looking to gain more power, they are also going to look for people who they can exert that power over. And Angel Dust provided him with an ample opportunity to not only turn Angel Dust into one of, if not the most popular porn stars in hell, but to be able to exert that power over him by not only having the contract with him, but everybody who watches those films. Valentino is almost profiting off of it, because it is increasing the industry that he oversees.
Right. There's a point where Angel calls himself Val's favorite toy. And I think that's just a really good depiction, because that's what he's using him as. He's just a plaything, and he's there to do whatever Val decides he wants. And so Val can really take that power that he has and just keep twisting it into more and more and more, whether that's more depraved kind of things or just more content in general, and just keep pushing it, which makes the people of hell happier and happier to keep trying to consume this content. And so if they keep trying to consume it, then Val is going to keep producing it.
Yeah, it's even when we look at like the porn industry and like in real life, is like, as you see the trends on what people's interests in porn are, like, you start to see more of it. Amateur porn, for example, for some reason there has been an increase in people searching amateur porn, like on Pornhub. So when they have that increase in searches, you're going to have people who are like, okay, so we need to produce more of this content because this is what people are looking for. This is what people want. So the more that Valentino can push Angel Dust out there. Angel Dust wins awards for being a porn star, which means you can see his popularity amongst those who would consume that media. So the more that people want to see him, the more that Valentino was going to put him in, the more he is going to use Angel's body. And you can see how that really impacts Angel.
So all of this kind of comes to a head in, I don't remember what episode it is, but
it's episode 4.
Episode 4. When Charlie is trying to get Val to stay to work on things. So she starts implementing like almost like some kind of group therapy into Has Been Hotel to talk about feelings and to gain trust and do all these things. And Angel's like, I got to go to work. And Charlie's like, no, you need to stay. We need to work on these things. And she decides that she's going to go get Val out of work.
Go
get Angel out of work. So she goes to talk to Val because, you know, she's the princess of hell. She can do what she wants, right? And so this episode really kind of, everything's just climaxing. And you see the full breadth of Val's control over Angel and how this happens so much in life, right? Because you see somebody who's in some kind of an abusive relationship and you want to help them. You think that, you know what? They just need me to come in, swoop in, make everything all better. I'll go tell this person, no, that can't happen anymore. And they do it out of like the best of intentions, right? But what's the road to hell paved in? Okay, good intentions, right? So she has these great intentions to go in and talk to Val and get Angel out of work, and it backfires astronomically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, Val kicks out the princess of hell from his studio to show you how much power he has in this studio specifically. He doesn't, like, you know, forcibly remove her, but he's able to get her out of there. And Angel, by making Angel be the one to tell her to leave, he doesn't have to do it. He's able to use Angel to make her leave. And in that process, Angel also tells her, you've made this worse. You're making things worse. Just go. I don't want you here. And that can be the thing that can be really hard for people when they see their loved one or someone that they do care about experience abuse. Because we say, like, you have to leave this person. You have to leave. You have to go. We have to get you out of here. But we don't see how deep those claws are in that person or how fearful that abuser has made their victim at that point. Because Angel is more afraid of the ramifications that happen from Val than he is of anything else. Because he knows what Val is going to do to him because Charlie showed up. Had Charlie not been there, had Charlie not tried to pull him out of this, he would have been relatively fine with the experiences he has. He's already sucked it up and said, like, well, my life sucks. This is really shitty. So it is what it is. But Charlie made a shitty situation shittier by trying to help him.
And so in this, when, you know, Val starts talking to Angel afterward, he's like, oh, you think that you can have someone else come in here and get you out of doing your work? You think that somebody else is going to come in and save you? Basically, like, let me just show you how bad I can make this, because it's a total power trip, right? I mean, Charlie's in the studio for all of 5 minutes of the episode or something like that.
She burns the fucking place.
Right? But I mean, relatively, like, it wasn't that much of a intrusion on their day, right? It's like five minutes. And He could have just been like, okay, yeah, no, we've got stuff to do, whatever. But he has to have that power. He has to have that control. And so he blows this completely out of proportion and says, well, now you're here all night, Angel, and we're going to do, you know, as many takes as we can for the rest of the night, and you're mine while you're here.
And then, so there's like these culminations. You also see, like, you see Val be physically abusive to Angel. You see him forcing him to do all these, like, all these acts throughout the day and keeping him there very late, because he shows back up at the hotel very late. And he doesn't want anything to do with anybody because he's tired, he's beaten, he's bruised. He has experienced probably one of the worst days that he would have experienced at work in a very long time. And this then culminates in him leaving the hotel again, and then Vaggie sends Husk after him. The real MVP of the series, the bartender in the hotel for addicts. It's not lost on me that they put a bartender in an area where they're trying to rehabilitate. This is essentially AA of hell, and they have a bartender. So they send Husk, and Husk begrudgingly goes, because that's who he is, and notices somebody trying to drug Angel. And you can see how also, like, in Husk's face when this happens, just, like, how annoyed he is that he has to do something now. Like, he would rather just do nothing, just, like, keep an eye on him, but now he has to act, because, like, he doesn't want this guy to get drugged. He's a bartender. Like, there's a code there for bartenders. Like, not that your patrons get drugged. And he stops the guy from drugging him, and Angel blows up at him. It's like, why are you doing this? He's like, it's because that guy was drugging you. She's like, I know I was being drugged. It happens all the time. Angel's used to this happening. Not only is he used to being forced to act in pornography that he probably doesn't want to act in, he is used to people drugging him and to take advantage of him, because people want him and they want his body specifically, because that is all he is to other people.
And so, you know, these are things that have been happening over time to Angel, right? Like, his very first day in hell, he probably wasn't used to somebody drugging him. But it's become normalized. The more and more it happens, the more that this is just the status quo of hell, of what's going on. And so now it's no big deal to him, right? Even though when someone else is looking in on it, like Husk, he says, you know, trying to make sure nothing bad happens to you. And he's just like, eh, whatever. It happens.
Yeah. Angel's not used to having people, one, care about what happens to him in that kind of way. Because he and Cherry Bomb are good friends. But I don't even think he talks to Cherry Bomb about all of the awful experiences that he has at the hands of Val. So this ends up culminating then in the best song of the series. I don't care what anybody says. Loser Baby is the best song in this series. This song, Husk meets Angel where he's at. Husk is my example from this series of how to respond to somebody when they disclose abuse or when they are talking to you about something bad that's happened to them. Because sometimes when you're telling people those things, you don't want somebody to be like, it's okay, I can help you, or try to give you tangible things to fix the issue, or say it's all going to get better eventually. Sometimes you just want to hear from somebody, damn, that sucks. And that is Loser Baby.
Yep. And that they get it, you know? Like, Loser Baby is basically Husk and Angel going back and forth with, you're a loser, I'm a loser too. Mm-hmm. And we've lost in this charade.
Yeah. And it's not even like he's saying, like, yeah, you have a shitty life, damn, you suck. Like, he's not calling Angel a loser. He's saying you've lost, because he's lost too. Also, he's a gambler. So, you know, he's going to have that kind of gambling flair to his aesthetic and the things that he talks about. But when you look at the lyrics and the way that he is phrasing these things to Angel. He is telling Angel, you've been dealt a shitty hand. You played your cards. You did the best you could and you still lost. Sometimes that happens. I'm a loser too. I've lost. Alistair has my chain. I made a deal with a demon. You're not the only one. And he's not saying, like, I have the same experience as you, so I know what you're going through. He's saying, I've had shitty experiences. I can relate to having a shit life. Because they have both been dealt really bad hands. And it doesn't matter how good you play a bad hand, you're still going to lose.
Right. And what I love about that is that, you know, it's not like when you're dealt a shitty hand, it's not like you got to make a choice in it. It's not like you picked those cards. And so that takes that whole like personal blame feeling off of it, because I didn't choose this. This is what I was dealt and this is how I'm dealing with it. That's not my fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you hear even in Poison, when Angel is singing, like he saying that he made the choices that put him in the positions that he's in, when really the only quote unquote choice that he made, if it was even really a choice for him, was to make a deal with Valentino. And when he makes that deal with Valentino, like, well, yeah, we aren't told as an audience what, why he makes the deal or like what the deal like fully details. Valentino loved bomb the shit out of Angel because he wanted Angel to believe that he liked and cared about him, because that is a very easy way for him to then be able to get him to do what he wants him to. So if he wants Angel to sign this contract that makes Angel lose his autonomy, well, he believed that Valentino had his best interests at heart when he's making that deal. And even if he might not have felt like he had his best interests at heart when he signed the deal, because the deal's not super great, he loved Valentino. He had genuine feelings for him. And when you have genuine feelings for somebody and you like and you care about them, you want to believe that they're going to act in your best interests. And that is something that Valentino was able to manipulate in Angel. So it's not a surprise when he ends up in this situation, because Valentino is a master manipulator. And that was his whole objective, is to be able to exert that power over Angel and use Angel how he wants to. And even if we say that Angel made the choice to sign that deal with Valentino, there is no way that Angel understood everything that was coming from that deal, because that deal is what allows Valentino to exert his power over him consistently, to consistently abuse him, to consistently assault him, and to consistently feed him drugs and cause even more problems for him.
And so, you know, as we're going through this series, right, it gets to show how important that support system is. So while Angel may have just stayed at the hotel because it was a free place to stay or whatever, he ends up making some good friends there, and he trusts them, and they trust him, and they accept him for who he is. And that support system is what can get him through. Mm-hmm. So like a little bit later in the series, they're all at a bar and they see Val out at the bar, and Val tries to exert that power and control over Angel while they're there by, you know, bringing out his chain and reminding him that they made a deal and he has this contract. And because Angel has that support system behind him, because he's trying to protect his friends and his friends are trying to protect him, he's able to say, you don't own me here. You own me in the studio. That's what our contract is, but we're not in the studio and you don't own me out here. So I'm going to do what I want. Mm-hmm. And it's like this big epiphany moment for him, right? Like, I don't know. It's just like my favorite little part.
Oh, yeah. You watch someone who's experienced abuse finally be able to stand up to their abusive person, which is really cathartic, I would imagine, for someone who's experienced abuse to be able to say, I'm putting my foot down here because I'm used to the abuse that you give me, but I am not going to let you put my friends through the same thing. So you watch this guy who doesn't believe he has any friends really other than Cherry, who doesn't really open himself up to anybody else, who believes that his life is just shit and there's nothing, it's never going to get any better, go to the point where he's like, I'm going to stand up to this person who has put me through the most hell because I don't want my friends to experience the same thing. And it's difficult to stand up to somebody who's abusive to you. I can't imagine how difficult it is knowing that the next time you set foot in that studio, you are going to basically suffer the consequences of having stood up to him. Because Val's not going to forget that that happened. But Angel even says it, and he's like, because someone says, that's going to be bad for you. He's like, it was worth it. Because not only did it show himself that he has some power, because that takes power to be able to stand up to somebody, but it also shows him that he has people who care about him, which is not something he's typically had.
Right. And I think a lot of people who maybe have experienced trauma, or maybe they're experiencing, you know, depression or suicidal ideation, things like that, like, it's not something that people tend to try and fix for themselves. But when someone that they care about is now, like, facing some of those consequences, it's a lot easier to try and change that situation for someone else, because it doesn't put that pressure on you. So while Angel spent decades living in this life where he just really hasn't done anything about it, now he's got these friends and he doesn't want them to have to face those consequences. So he's standing up now because it's for someone else.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be super interesting to see, like, in season two, like, how that plays out, because it feels like, I think they've said, I think Dizzy Pop said it too, that in season two, the V's are going to be like, some are going to be more prominent, which is going to be awesome because I fucking love the V's. I love Vox so much. The TV demon is incredible. Also, just because I feel like he's like my favorite, like, his type of villainy is like right up my alley for like a villain, where he's just like theatrical, but also like very well put together. But like when one thing like happens, it's just like the little crack in like the facade, and like, nope, can't do that. And his song with Alistair like is a perfect example of that, where like he's like, Alistair, you know, gets under his skin. We don't know the whole thing about it. We know he almost lost to Alistair at one point, but just seeing like how he gets under his skin, like, oh yeah, this is my type of villain.
I absolutely can't wait for season two to come out. I will be just like waiting, and then I will binge it.
Yeah. And well, once I'm done with it, because then you can get to my Amazon, because someone doesn't have Amazon.
I don't think you're supposed to say that out loud.
Well, you know, what's Amazon going to do? Amazon's not listening to our podcast.
Yeah, so you'll have to binge it.
Yes.
Quickly, so that I can then binge it.
Don't worry, I think my wife will be fine with it.
But they're short episodes anyway, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But kind of like circling back to the discussion on like support systems. So like really that's like the biggest like lesson from this season is we can't do things alone. Like you have to have supports. When we're doing work in the communities, it's so important for us to make people understand that we need to be able to support others. We need to be able to support victims. Everyone at the Hasbin Hotel is a victim one way or the other, except maybe Alistair. But, you know, when we support victims, we allow them the space to heal and do things on their own while providing them with supports. We end up putting them in a better situation and we end up helping them in that healing journey. Charlie does not help Angel by storming into the studio. Husk helps Angel by being there for him and saying, yeah, that sucks, man. I've experienced shit too, but we can do this. We can get through this together. And that's when Angel starts to open up to the more people, more to the people at the hotel. When they created that space. Oh, go ahead.
Say, let's not give Charlie like a totally bad rap though, because all of these people wouldn't be joined together here unless it was for the efforts that Charlie was willing to put in. So, you know, she very easily could have just fell into what the preconceived notion would be of the Princess of Hell and just reveled in the depravity and the killing and everything else that was going on, because she was protected from the extermination. Mm-hmm. So she could have just been like, eh, whatever. But she didn't. She wanted to make sure that everyone else's lives or afterlives were in a better situation than when they came there. So if it hadn't been for Charlie creating the hotel, bringing people together, pushing them the way that she did to try and make those connections, you know, was it misguided? You know, she had the good intention of it, and she maybe didn't have all the right follow through, but she put the work in to make it so that they could connect.
Yeah. Well, what I also like about Charlie's character is that it's a good representation of how those who have a genuine desire to help and like to help others, like sometimes they have a hard time letting their foot off that gas. Charlie throws Vaggie into saying, hey, you run these exercises. Even though that's not something Vaggie was comfortable with doing. Charlie storms into the studio when Angel is working. Charlie goes to the meeting with Adam, fully intending on pitching her hotel, and it goes poorly. Charlie goes to heaven, and again, the result doesn't really end up in her favor. She disregards Vaggie when she says, hey, Charlie, maybe like pull it back a little bit, because she knew she was about to get heated in this situation, which rightfully so. Charlie is in the right for most of this stuff that happens to her. But it's when you have such a strong desire to help people, it can be hard sometimes to take a step back and understand, am I doing this the right way? Am I going about this the right way? Or am I doing something that could possibly end up harming more than helping? I don't remember who says it, but they're always like, why is it every time you end up dealing with heaven, we end up paying for it? And that's kind of like what happens, is every time Charlie has an interaction with heaven, the hotel and the people there are the ones that are coming in to like either clean it up or now have to deal with some ramifications from it. And that's also heaven being bad. That is not saying Charlie is bad, but it's recognizing that, yes, we all want to help people. We all want those we care about to be in situations that are going to help them grow and not be detrimental to them. But sometimes it can be hard for us to understand that that process takes time, and we cannot do that quickly.
And you can't just make final decisions for other people. Like, if your decisions are going to be affecting all these other people, you can't just make them all yourself. Mm-hmm. You need to be consulting with some of those people that they're going to affect, right?
Which is a lesson Charlie learns. So yeah, we are super excited for season 2 of Hazmat Hotel. I'm sure when season 2 comes out, there'll be more that we can discuss, especially with Angel's character, because I don't foresee them giving us the quick resolve to the contract that he has with Val and the abuse that he's experiencing. They've given Angel a very good step forward in his healing and his ability to regain some power that he has lost. But just like working with victims in real life, that isn't always linear and it isn't always quick. This could be a one step forward, two step back scenario as well, which is also the case for a lot of victims when they work on their healing.
Yeah, and even if they do decide to give him some sort of resolve from it, it's still there's still probably going to be plenty of content we'd be able to talk about with his dealing with life after too.
Thank you all for listening to us just kind of ramble on for a while about Hazbin Hotel. If you like this kind of content where it's just us really discussing things in media, let us know. We would be more than happy to keep doing these things because I absolutely love talking about media and the messaging from it. I don't know if you have anything
Super
else you
fun.
want to tack. Okay. I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to tack in there, Amanda. But as you can tell, we've also enjoyed this as well. While yes, we do want to keep giving you survivor stories and we do want to keep giving you educational episodes. These ones are fun.
It's fun. And you can learn from it too, because it just gives you a little bit of a chance to maybe dissect the media that you're consuming a little bit more. Because if I had watched this 10 years ago, I would have probably just been like, "Heh, that's
Oh yeah.
funny." You know, I wouldn't have looked into the deeper things there. And I want you all to look at the deeper things too, because it's really where the content is. And so you should all appreciate it as much as we do.
All content has like that superficial, like, oh, this is something I can enjoy, or that next layer of like, oh wow, this is awesome. Like the shows that I like the most aren't shows that I've like watched in passing, or so shows that I didn't really care about like what was happening, I guess. Like if you watched Hazbin Hotel and you didn't take away that Angel Dust is an abuse victim and that what they've experienced is what abuse victims in real life experience, you didn't understand Angel Dust's character. Like you miss things in media when you're not getting the messaging that is coming through. So it can be a way to enjoy it more. But thank you all for listening today. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and LinkedIn to keep up to date when we have new episodes coming out and other content that we push out. Please email us any questions, comments, or concerns to touchysubjectspodcast@gmail.com. And please rate and follow us on your favorite podcast listening app. It really does help the show out.
And in the meantime, don't be afraid to challenge, ask, and discuss when it comes to touchy subjects.